Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So Brad Hayes, we professors of political science, this is our sort of Christmas elections. Right, this is we're like pigs in mud during this time, and sometimes what we come up with is fascinating in that nobody else cares, but we do. So let me ask you to your reaction to Election Day.
Yeah, so I mean, it was an interesting election. I think I guess a couple points on that front. First, I think, you know, there's a very strong anti-Obama sentiment that you simply can't dismiss following the election. It was highly influential. If you look at some of the exit polls, we see things like 83% of those expressing disapproval of Obama voted Republican. If you look at another number, half of the voters said Obama was a factor in their vote. And of those, more than half said that they opposed him and cast their vote as such. This was more so in some of the tightly contested Senate races. And this was more powerful than, say, the disapproval of Congress. We saw that there were questions in the exit polls that asked about your disapproval, if you disapproved of Congress and then how you voted. If in fact you were disapproving of Congress, you had a tendency to still vote Republican, and which is somewhat in tension with what we see in kind of polling reports more generally, which suggests that the Republican Party is actually in a less favored position relative to the Democrats. And I think some of that then reflects on some other things that exit polls picked up on, like the bleak mood of the country. Almost half of voters said that they expect life for the next generation to be worse than today. And, we know that the things are a bit bleak in terms of the perspective of Americans, but it's a pretty dramatic change even from the 2010 elections. That response rate is 10 percentage points higher than in 2010. So we know that there's a strong anti-Obama sentiment. We also know that the issues are shifting a little bit. Non-economic issues had a profile that we haven't seen in a little while. Less than half of voters thought the economy was the most important issue. That's a big change from 2008, 2010, and 2012, where the economy was by quite some distance the most important issue.
I don't get it. One could make the argument that Obama has been very successful in terms of dealing with the national debt, in terms of dealing with the budget, and deserves a lot of credit for having gotten us out of this terrible economic malaise that we were in. But he doesn't seem to be getting any credit for that.
No, he's not getting credit. I mean, I think that there's a couple different things there. One, that the Republican critique has stuck in a way that the Democratic defense has not.
When you say critique, you mean propaganda?
Yeah, well, that much of what's going on in the country that's wrong is Obama's fault, right? That critique, rightly or wrongly. And I think actually that shows up, for example, if you look at the exit polls on issues like ISIS and Ebola, for those disapproving of U.S. policies on ISIS and Ebola, they broke overwhelmingly Republican. ISIS a little bit closer, but 56% of those disapproving of U.S. policy voted for the Republican candidate on Ebola, which, you know, I actually think that there should in some ways be kind of a national success story thus far. Those disapproving of U.S. policy, 72% voted Republican. So I think that speaks to the degree to which the Republican critique has really been grounded, and people are acting on it.
Let me stop you there, because it seems to me that the narrative on Obama has been seized by the Republicans. It is propaganda 101. It has been successful. They have been able to make this their own, and the Democrats deserve some criticism for not doing the opposite.
I totally agree with that. They ran from the president. I think they should have run towards the president. Even though the president's approval ratings are not great, When you run from that, you've got nowhere to go. Rather than saying this is our turf and we're going to defend it, that in fact we should talk about the Obama economy, right? The Obama stock market, right? The market has been quite healthy of late, but we don't refer to that as the Obama market. Why is that? Right? They did not engage in that kind of a thing and tried to run from Obama. So Democrats did a terrible job of defending their turf, defending some of their successes. And that, I think very much put them in an awkward position in this particular election.
But doesn't that speak to the difference in discipline between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party? The Democratic Party has often been described as a circular firing squad, while the Republican Party seems to, get their stuff together.
I'm going to say yes and no. I'm going to waffle on this point. I agree that the Republicans have been quite good on message discipline over time. What we saw recently, though, is a fragmentation of that with the rise of the Tea Party. What the Republican Party did extremely well in this election is to push out the Tea Party. They did that in the primary. Time and time again, the Tea Party challenger lost to a more mainstream Republican candidate. And what we see then were more mainstream Republicans running in the general, and they had success there. So where there was fragmentation, there appears to be greater cohesion coming out of this particular election. And that seems to have resonated. I was looking at some of the exit polling numbers on independent voters. And there's some really interesting things here about the degree to which Republicans won independent voters. Nationally, independent voters broke 54% to 42%, according to the exit polls. That's a big number in terms of independent voters. If you look at it in some of the close senatorial races in Georgia, it was 59-36 Republican to Democrat among independent voters. North Carolina, there was a 7-point spread. Iowa was a 10-point spread. Colorado was an 8-point spread. Where the Democrats did really poorly is among independent voters. But I think part of that might be a reflection that they, the Republican Party, could all of a sudden appeal to those that were at least closer to the center, where they had so many problems when they were running Tea Party candidates.
Hmm. Is it your sense, though, a lot of people are talking about Hillary Clinton, being a powerful candidate, the Republicans don't have anybody who looks right now ready to take her on, although I'm saying Jeb Bush. And if she wins big, that will probably mean that something like New York State and some of these other places will go back into the Democratic columns.
Yeah, no, I think there, I can tell a really happy story for Democrats, even though things appear very bleak. One of those the components of that story is about the battleground states in 2016. The political terrain was extremely unfavorable for Democrats, as we know. The 2016 is quite favorable. There will be senatorial races in Pennsylvania, in Illinois, in Wisconsin, in New Hampshire, as well as some interesting ones in Florida, Kentucky, and Ohio, because the individuals running for re-election there are also thinking about running for the president. So you have Rubio in Florida, Rand Paul in Kentucky, and Rob Portman in Ohio. Well, my understanding of Florida and Kentucky law is that you are prohibited from running for both offices or for any two federal offices at the same time. So you cannot do that. You have to make a decision. And Portman in Ohio has basically said, I won't run for both. So that may then make those up for grabs. And so the terrain will shift dramatically. I mean, I think Republicans need to feel pretty good that they got to 54, or probably will get to 54, given Louisiana in the Senate, because it makes it possible, given 2016, to hold on to the Senate. But it's going to be a very difficult job for them to do.
Brad Hayes, we always love having you. Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. I always like to think of you as our faculty in residence. So thank you for being here.
Always my pleasure.